You're listening to Gab Street, Columbus, Ohio's number one podcast for the counterculture. Hear unique, honest perspectives from the most talented creatives in your city about our most important issues, and discover your new favorite people along the way. Support your locals before they go global. So I recently, I pulled up SoundCloud earlier, and I was bombarded with a screen immediately that was different from the normal feed, and it said that they're changing their revenue share system, like fundamentally. And it's they're, are you, did you just pull it up?
I did. What the fuck?
Yeah, so they made it so that it's based off of actual activity on your account rather than a pool where it's percentages.
That,
which,
well,
is like a very short, crude explanation of it, but
maybe if they did that 3 years ago, they would have saved themselves, but like, yeah. Fucking SoundCloud is done. Sorry, like, go to bed.
But, well, I don't know about that, because this is, they're doing it, they're the first ones to do it this way. And I don't see Spotify switching over to this anytime soon, unless SoundCloud actually, like, does better. I'm impressed. I think it'll do well for them, honestly.
You really think? I guess I haven't looked into it. Is it actually, like, fair? Like,
yeah, if you look at the distribution, it shows you exactly how it works. It gives a visual and everything. You just got to scroll down a little bit.
That's very interesting. I probably don't have time to just, like, look at that now, but I'll check it out. That would be weird, actually, if SoundCloud just suddenly flipped spots with Spotify.
I wouldn't mind it that much. They would have to make a few UI changes, but I wouldn't mind it that much. It would be okay.
They really do need to make some UI changes. Like, that shit's lacking. It's been the same way for the past, like, what, 8 years?
Well, yeah, and there's no desktop app. Unless I'm mistaken. Is there one for Windows?
There's a website. There's no desktop app.
I've always preferred standalone apps to like browser listening. That's just how I operate. But Gab Street audience, believe it or not, this is not just another Kara and Zay fuck around hour, as it might have sounded like up until this point. If y'all are day ones, you may have heard episode 5, in which we had this fella right here on with another fella named Luke Chioka, and he has been on the show over and over again, helping me out, either taking episodes on his own or helping me interview people and just getting shit taken care of. Today he's on in a different capacity. And he's a little nervous about it, I think. He might be. He's a little humble, which I can respect. But I am actually giving Zay Crypto a formal interview. We are highlighting his best and worst quality. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, we're highlighting all of the fantastic things that he has contributed to both the sphere of artistic creations and to this show. So, without further ado, I'll go ahead and begin.
If you want to know my worst qualities, just listen to my music.
Just listen to Free Kodak Part 1. That's where you talk about it. Yes.
God damn it. Free Kodak Part 1. Yep. I should release... you know what
release
I should
it.
Do?
Make it and release it, please.
No, I should, like, wait until, like, I am really fucking good at making music.
Grammy level. And you've had a Grammy already.
Yeah, like, no, like, I'm talking, like, people are talking... Not even people, just like when I feel like my music is legendary, then I will make this like magnificent, like my Stairway to Heaven type shit. Call it Free Kodak Part 1 and then leave it in my will to drop the day I die.
Oh my god. Yes. I like this is it, Michael Jackson style, just like straight up drop it right after. Yeah.
That would be so dumb. Why do I want to make my entire life a meme? I'd really
release it
don't.
On gold vinyl. Gold vinyl only. No digital download. No CD.
Yeah.
Only a limited edition.
Actually, I won't even release it to the public. I'll send it off into space and challenge people of the future to retrieve it.
I just realized something. I don't think we're actually capable of doing an episode where I just interview you. We can't stop going on tangents. Holy shit.
Okay, yeah. No, okay, God. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's okay. No, it's all my fault, because like you're like the voice of reason, and I just want to take everything and turn it into a fucking maze of thought. And
Okay, but let's look into that for a second, because that gives me an opportunity to talk about something that I've been needing to talk about, the philosophy of the show, right? Because every episode of the show, if it's an interview, it's supposed to be a personality profile. That's what I'm trying to do. It's supposed to be an accurate, good faith representation of the person I'm talking to. Mm-hmm. And whatever ends up happening in that, let's look at a Revolter Pictures episode, for example. I did not get through all my questions.
Yeah.
You know that already, and you may not even have heard it, but you know that because you know them. And that's their style, and that's how they operate. They just come up with shit constantly on the fly. And you know what?
Yeah.
People know who they are now. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they heard that episode, they're like, I understand this group of people. You know?
Yeah, you have like 20 questions for me. I actually wanted to spend this whole hour just like listing off my top 100 hentai scenes.
And you can name them?
Yeah, I got a list. It's
let's not start it though. Let's
Yeah, number one, tentacle scene 3.
Oh my god. Bro. Okay, I wanna highlight a few things real quick here.
Wait, right. I just want the people to know I don't actually watch hentai.
There's no shame in that.
I look at pictures of hentai. I don't like the video format. Okay?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
You know what? That gives you a little bit of culture. You earn some points
there. It's art. It's not porn, okay? Just exactly. My dick is out for completely non-related reasons.
Okay, so I want to highlight a few things here. So, one, the fact that you have been taking over some of the episodes for me lately with Drazon and AGB has been so incredibly helpful. So thank you. And to those of you who are not in my personal circle who listen, my life has been the busiest that it has ever been over all of my life for the past few weeks now. And this show, I mean, we're recording this on a Tuesday night. Like, this is how tight it's getting. It's getting a little difficult to keep up with the show. But rest assured, we are not going to stop releasing weekly. We are going to make it happen each week. It's just going to be a little tight. So, circumstances like releasing the episode that was just 5 minutes of me talking, that was a tight one. That was a little difficult. But thank you for helping me out with that. And I also want to talk about how much I want to talk about your growth since we interviewed you on episode 5 and your growth just since the inception of us meeting at Taco Bell we met at Starbucks next to the Taco Bell off of Reddit. That's what happened. I don't know if we've ever actually explained that, but so since that interview, you have released Liftoff, which was your debut EP.
Yep.
And Golden Hour was the top one off of that on Spotify right now. How many streams does that have, do you know?
I don't know, but I probably don't deserve them.
Fantastic track. Not your best so far, because it was early and you have improved since then. So what I'm saying is you're making some fantastic shit. What? So.
Oh, thanks, Sarah.
No problem. You have released not that much since then, but it has been quality over quantity. And Mars Boy and Zay Crypto is a song that has a composition of the likes of which I haven't heard from you before. And it's clear that, you know, it's going to be beneficial for you and Luke Chioka to continue to work together. But talk me through that process of learning what to do between Liftoff and these newer releases.
Oh, man, that's hard. Like, when I made that song with Luke, that was kind of me just, like, putting aside my ego and being like, all right, I can't make the music I want to make, but I can make some good music with someone who can make an instrumental better than I can.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, honestly, I wish I'd have done that earlier, because that was such an easy song to make, and honestly, it's probably one of my best. I've gotten a lot of people that said, like, it's good, and I know it's good, but, like, I still don't like it. I really have a problem with not liking anything I release, because I'll like it, and then I'll listen to it 100 times, and mm-hmm. then release it, and by the time I release it, I hate it. But I love my songs. I love all my songs the day that they're created. And then my songs have the value of a car to me. Like, as soon as they drive off the lot, they depreciate in value, like, a lot.
That's fair. Yeah. Have any of your songs been impounded yet?
Actually, yeah. Yeah. There's a song, Premium Trash. I impounded that for good.
Oh yeah. That's
funny. I made that back when I was 18 to a instrumental that I got off of YouTube. And the reason I made it is because it was like some guy that he made like a contest. I just wanted clout. The only reason I made that was to get clout. He had like a contest. Like, you got 3 days, everybody, to make a song to this beat. So I did. And I think it was better than all the people he showed on his YouTube, but whatever. He probably didn't see it, but yeah, I took that off because that was just some, that was very, I was really like leaning hard into my wannabe gangster side of me.
Yeah.
And that's just not a side of me I want to really promote.
And you know, you are no longer. You're working on stuff that's going away from that, but into a much more signature sound for you. And can you describe how that's formulated?
A lot of just obsession, kind of. Like, I will just, like, change. Everything changes faster than I can create it. And I'm at a point now where it's been hard for me to learn what I need to learn this year, because I've been so goddamn depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wanted to be a year ago is not what I want to be now. And what I want to be now is like a mix of like, maybe Grimes and Sublime and Led Zeppelin and I don't know. I couldn't even, that's not even accurate, actually. I have so many influences from so many different genres that the only way for me to really make the music that I can envision is to learn how to produce, like, really well. And I suck at production. So I think a lot of it is just, like, I constantly make, I can't describe what it's like, really. I'm sorry, your question was like, what's the process, right? What's the process in getting from Liftoff to where we are now,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, so, like, it's definitely a lot of drugs, a lot of marijuana. In some regard, but I don't really I don't really need weed to get inspired. It's just been a part of my inspiration along the way. I think I really think that what inspires me is I just kind of lean into whatever makes me feel like what gives me serotonin.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever really like makes me happy, that's what I try to do. Whatever sounds like, recently I've been really getting into kind of lo-fi, sort of weird ass experimental aesthetics. There's this artist in love with a ghost, and they make really cool art. There's also this artist, Sewer Slut, I've been listening to. Pleasant. I like their, yeah, they're both like like yin and yang. Like one is like really dark and one is really light, and they both are instrumental artists, and I both like them a lot. And I've been listening to Sophie too. Rest in peace.
Good.
Sophie. Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Sophie, like, really. Sophie's really inspiring because they made all their music, like, from scratch, like, all those sounds from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And.
And she also produced for several other artists. And the signature style that she brings actually is very evident in their music as well. I don't remember the names of any of the other artists, but I know that that's a thing that happened.
I know she produced for Kendrick and Vince Staples for one song.
Damn.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Madonna, I think, too. But
wow. Okay.
I think, to answer your question, in a nutshell, it's like I tear myself down, build myself back up, tear myself down, and I'm only really satisfied with the result maybe 5% of the time. But it's like, it's good. Hmm. I'm sort of liking the way that I'm evolving, and I'm starting to like the finished product more over a longer period of time. Like, I still like Mars Boy and Say Crypto. I still listen to that from time to time. I can't really, it bores me a lot, like, because I've just heard it so many times, but every now and again I'll be like, I haven't heard this in a while, I'll put it on, and I vibe to it, and it's a good song. I think what I'm really excited to drop my new project, because that's like 9 songs and I've never dropped anything that big. That's gonna come out this year, hopefully.
How much are you willing to talk about that?
I can talk about that. That's like just a culmination of my life. That's a culmination of my life from when I was, I think most of the songs come from like in between Liftoff and now, but a couple of those songs I created before Liftoff. I try to arrange them. I'm still trying to figure out the order. I'm not sure whether I want to arrange them in a linear fashion or something which feels emotionally right. I'm probably going to go with what feels emotionally right, but I want to try to arrange them to take you on a like an A, B, C sort of a, I want you to feel
like a narrative of some sort.
Yeah, well, I want you to feel something when you listen to them all together. I want you to take something away that you wouldn't on their own.
Cool.
I can't really say much on that. I can say that Luke has produced 2 of the instrumentals. Besh has produced one of the instrumentals. I got one of the instrumentals off of YouTube, and then the other 5 I made myself.
Hell yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah, yeah, it's really cool. Once it's done, I'm going to be very happy with it, I think. I think it's some of the best music I've made so far.
And I think you may have just mentioned a couple members of a potential, or not, it's no longer potential, this is something that's happening. The collective that you're trying to put together?
Kind of. The cult.
Yes.
My cult my cult is in its early stages, but we will soon establish ourselves as a world religion, and I'm gonna use that I'm gonna use that tax cut, that tax break, to like hoard all my money and not pay anything to the elite.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna open up a church.
Yes.
But it's really just going to be a recording studio.
And what did you say that it stands for?
The cult stands for the culling of unscrupulous and loathsome traditions.
And which, what would you describe some of those traditions as?
The concept of race, the concept of gender, the concept of hierarchy, the concept of like making money over like just living in harmony.
Mm-hmm.
I think we put way too much basically just like some Gen Z shit. Like, I like my generation a lot. I think we're right about a lot of things. I also think we're extremely misled in other ways, but yeah. As a whole, I think our generation's pretty fucking dope.
I would agree with you. Yeah.
I want to put some love out in the world.
Hell yeah.
Hopefully affect someone in a positive way.
Hell yeah. I'm really excited for the culmination of all of that. And I will be a part of it.
Me too. Extent. Yeah. Yes. So. No. I want you to be a part of that. I want. Right now, it's like Besh and Dre.
That's Dre's on Midwest, interviewed on episode 95, somewhere around there.
Yes.
In the 90s.
Yes. Me and Dre are currently working on a music video. I want to try to put Dre on as much as I can because I think Dre is super, super heavily underrated. And
Drazon's incredibly talented. Yes.
Yeah, like, he's got it, and I would honestly rather him get famous before me. I feel a lot more comfortable about not to say like I will get famous. I don't plan on getting famous. I'm just afraid of like doing things that might accidentally make me famous, and it's holding me back because I need to get better behind a camera, and I need to get better at organizing my art in an aesthetic way. And I want to, if I can help Dre get famous, that'll teach me a lot of things that I need to know for my own stuff. So
good to know. I have a little example to follow. Yeah,
I'm pushing Dre this year. I'm gonna like work on my stuff behind the scenes. I want to get Besh working with more artists in the city because Besh is a killer producer. He makes some really good instrumentals if you're into like the old school boom bap, like that type of ish.
And how can you find him?
Besh? Fuck, I forget.
Does he have a SoundCloud where he publishes his beats or anything like that?
He does have a SoundCloud. Yeah, hold on, let me find it.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get like a link out so we can check out
these people. Okay, no. So. Yeah, okay, Besh, find him, all one word, Besh Mike, that's B-E-S-H-M-I-K-E, M-I-K-E on SoundCloud, Besh Mike from Columbus, Ohio. He does have, he's been posting, actually. Sick, yeah. I don't really go on SoundCloud anymore.
Fair
if
enough.
If you didn't know, but yeah, I'm really on YouTube more than anything else. But yeah, Besh has a SoundCloud. Also, all of Dre's stuff is on SoundCloud. Definitely check him out. I know we shouted him out a few episodes back, but Drezon Midwest, Drezon Midwest. He's on SoundCloud. You can find both of them on Instagram too. Cool. I think Besh Mike is the same thing. Yeah, those guys are both my friends, and I think they're both incredibly talented. And nobody knows about them, so I want people to know about them.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Besh Mike is the same on Instagram, just with an underscore under his name. So Besh Mike underscore.
Gotcha. So who would you say, and this can be either like the people you just mentioned in your personal circle, or this can be artists or people that are more well-known nationally. But who do you look up to as an artist and as a person?
Shit.
Your role models.
I don't have any role models, really. I have inspiration. I don't really think any of those people are like amazing role models though. Like Flatbush Zombies really inspired me. I'm not to diss anyone, like nobody's like terrible. I've never really had any role models, honestly.
Yeah.
Which I kind of see myself as a role model in kind of a fucked up way. There's like the part of me that knows what to do is my role model, and the part of me that doesn't do what I need to do is who looks up to that and wishes they could be that. Like I know what to do, I just don't do it.
Well, that's totally valid, actually. And you said that that's in some fucked up way, but there is a concept in psychology, if you don't mind if I go on that for just a moment here.
Oh yeah, yeah, please.
It's called family systems, or just like the family system. I'm not sure, but it puts forth that there are two different identities in your head, and they your internal conflicts are those two fighting each other on things. And like for a lot of people, one is a protector and the other one is more adventurous, and it's like, oh well, you know, it's self-regulation, and I think it can come in any form, and I think that your form is completely valid.
Yeah, mine is like when Congress can't agree on a budget and they just shut down the government for 2 months.
I think you'd be surprised at all that at the amount of people that experience it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really funny, actually. Okay, my influences change a lot. Like, ASAP Rocky was my idol in high school. Yeah. I still think ASAP Rocky's cool. I think it just changes. Like, Flatbush Zombies changed my life in a certain degree, in a positive way. I fuck with Flatbush Zombies heavy, but like and then there's just like as an artist like Jimi Hendrix, just the way that he could play guitar, I really admire that. Fucking Nirvana, like Kurt Cobain. I think Kurt Cobain is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I also really like, I really admire Grimes and people like Grimes and Sophie who mm-hmm. produce their own stuff. I don't really know Sophie as much as well as I know Grimes, but I know Grimes produces all her stuff from scratch. It's like she makes the instrumental, then she sings it, she engineers it. And I'm sure Sophie does that too, because I know she can, like, literally, she could make her own sounds. And I don't even think Grimes can do that. But just their top-down approach, how they make everything themselves and don't outsource it. Because when I make a song, I want to make a music video to go with it. And when I make a music video to go with it, I want to perform it on stage in a certain way. And then I want to put it in an album and package that album in a certain way, and promote it on social media and promote it on social media in a certain way. And I really admire the people that do everything themselves. I want to be more like that. As much as I love Luke, I eventually want to be as good as him when it comes to production and just like do all the stuff on my own.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Flume, I really fuck with Flume. Flume and Clams Casino, their instrumentals I've been a fan of since I was in high school. I really fuck with their production. Honestly, there's too many influences that I have for me to remember all at once. And I'll be influenced by some weird shit too, just like I'll find some random video on YouTube, some random artist that is recommended, and I'll think, wow, that's cool. And I won't think about it for 6 months, and then I'll come back to it. And it's very all over the place, honestly. I could talk about my influences this entire episode, but we can't do that.
I I would say, and just to add one more comment to that, it seems like you draw role models from unconventional places, which I think is actually a similarity of ours, because traditionally and in media, media is not an accurate representation of humanity most of the time, but a lot of movies and shows will show kids idolizing celebrities and like wanting to grow up to be like Hulk Hogan or like G.I. Joe. You know, it's like people have these people that they look up to and want to be like. And all my life, I never had like an archetypal, like, this is who I want to grow up and become. And so I feel like you and I are similar in that way, where we find that inspiration and role model isms in smaller things.
Actually, you know what? Honestly, my biggest role models are probably like my friends and family, like my mom and my sister. Those are big role models, and just people that have been in my life for a long time have actually changed the way I thought about a lot of things. So yeah, those are probably my role models.
Cool. Now, next question for you, and I don't know if this is something I've actually asked you in private or not, but what out of your musical career thus far are you the most proud of? Released, unreleased, whatever it is.
Probably, okay, like, I got two things. Just overall, I'd say performing on stage. Specific to like music I've made, the song Desaturate. That's probably the song I'm proudest of. That's the kind of music that I only hope, like I barely could hope to dream of making when I was 15. And
that's awesome.
Now that I made it, it's my first song on guitar too, which I'm really happy about. And I think that's a great song, and that's probably one I'm most proud of. That's going to be the first song on the new project.
Sweet. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Cool. And the performance was at the Gab Street Party, right?
Yeah, that was amazing.
I was incredibly proud of you for doing that, because I was with you up until you did it, and I know how nervous and how badly you thought it was going to go.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting over here watching you, just like, I know you've put effort into this and you've thought about this a lot, and it paid off, dude. Like, you really, for a first performance, you had that room rocking.
You think so? I thought I did terribly, honestly.
For a first performance, I will say for that relative statement there.
I actually, when I was performing, I kind of blacked out. I don't even know if anyone was even, like, everyone could have turned away and was like, be looking at the wall or the cake or something, and I wouldn't have any idea.
Nah, man, we were all there with you.
It wasn't terrible. I didn't drop the mic, and I didn't forget my lyrics, and I didn't stray too far off from the melody. So yeah,
step one, don't drop the microphone. Yes. Keep it in your hand for the duration of the performance.
I was holding that mic so tight that by the time the song was over, my hand had like a Charlie horse. Like, I was struggling to like open my hand and let go of the mic. It was so stiff.
So I had kind of a similar experience that night, because that was the first time I've ever really like gone on stage and spoken in front of people like that.
Yeah.
You know, I like to speak well, but like in my own little private like hidey hole where I'm just talking to people through like tubes in my computer, you know what I'm saying? But or like when it's my environment and when it's my room, that's where I do my best. But then, like, you know, both of us had that kind of cocoon opening moment where we had to do our craft, but it was actually in front of the people that are consuming it.
Honestly, it was insane. I can't believe Gab Street put on a show still. Like,
one of the best shows I've ever been to.
Honestly,
I'm serious. That honestly. Lineup, Joseph Keith, just shout out Joseph Keith real quick for helping get that lineup together. Basically putting it together, because like I knew the people, but he knew the people, and he got that show together musically. That was a banger.
That show was popping. I'm so glad I performed first, so that I was actually able to enjoy everybody else's performances.
Oh yeah, I can imagine just sitting there being like, I have to follow all yeah. of this. Oh god.
And just like, I wouldn't even have been listening. I would have been like, don't forget your lyrics. Don't fuck up. Don't make yourself look stupid.
You just go up and do one of that Boy Jonesy songs instead. It's like, oh, I like tripped out for like a whole 3 minutes and did someone else's song.
I show up like, that's an awfully hot coffee pot.
Yeah, what a night, man. And I would say that I'm assuming that hump that you had to get over to perform that first time is probably one of the biggest challenges you've had to overcome as a musician, is it not?
Yes, for sure. Like, once that night was over, I did it. Like, I'm an artist now. I've done everything. I've produced, I've sang, I've rapped, I've recorded, I've mixed, I've mastered, I've performed.
And what are some other challenges that you've overcome?
As a musician. Singing. Yeah. I used to suck at singing. I'm like decent.
Used to.
Now.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm messing with you.
No. I think a big challenge for me was finding who I was. I mean, nobody ever knows who they are really, but I have a way better idea than I used to. And honestly, figuring out who I was harder than writing lyrics. And I'm really glad I didn't focus on writing lyrics without finding out who I was, because then I would just have a bunch of shitty songs written about someone that I was trying to be. Yeah. Like my first year of making music was. I think a hard part about making music is learning what not to say rather than what to say.
Yeah, and that's a good point.
Right now, currently, music theory and just like producing in general is the biggest challenge I face. And once I'm over that, then my music's gonna get a lot better, I think.
Hell yeah. Yeah, because the stuff that you've already put out, introducing a level of technical skill when it comes to music theory and, you know, constructing empirically proven good sounds, you know, <Yeah. laughs> it's going to give you a little bit of an edge. And that's gonna make it a little bit more of a playground for you, because you're going to set up the foundation with this music theory knowledge. You're going to be like, these are the chords I can work with. And then you can just play with things over top of that. And I feel like that's going to give you freedom that you really need.
Yeah, it's going to allow me to make some weird shit. That's really what I want to do. I want to make some weird shit.
Good.
I don't want anybody to sound like me. And I need to get a lot better before I can say that.
To be unique, you could release some Radio Static. Just like a five minute track of Radio Static.
Yo, that's a great idea. I could rap to that.
Have you heard of the genre hard noise?
No. Is that a genre?
That is a legitimate genre of music. It's like slightly melodic industrial buzzing.
Oh man, I can only imagine the kind of mustache you need to enjoy that music.
You gotta sample that stuff, man. That's what you gotta do. You gotta take harsh noise.
I literally can just make that. I need to get there's something in FL called a white noise generator, and it's just like all the frequencies at once.
Oh geez.
Yeah. Actually, you know what I really want to do? I want to, this is kind of going off the rails, but I want to learn how to do Blender. Make some like 3D models and crap like that, and put that in my visual stuff.
Hell yeah.
You know what else I want to do? I want to perform in VR. I really want to try that.
Let's do a VR chat concert.
Honestly, I could. Like, I am not that far away from it. I just need a better microphone on my headset. And you can get one of those online and like attach it like with magnets or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then
That's neat.
there's some software I can use to play my instrumental.
Yeah.
There's some open mic sets I can go to.
Oh, dude, I'm hitting up this VR chat show.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's gonna be lit once I actually make it happen. I think once I drop my project, I'm just gonna start showing up in VR every night and performing a few songs to anybody that's there.
Let's think about this though. All right, let's think of the ramifications. Because we put together a show like this, and we don't need to buy smoke machines. We don't need to buy lighting. The sound system is implemented in the world in which you are performing already. That's incredible. It gives you so much freedom. You could turn into a marshmallow and start rapping as a marshmallow.
No, we went to an open mic night, me and my friends, and there was this big old rat avatar looking like Biggie Cheese who was
Biggie
performing.
Cheese, yes.
Biggie Cheese, the guy wasn't actually performing. He was just like playing some Migos and then kind of moving his body around and acting like he was rapping
Oh
to
my God.
it. He was going like, like, you can't see my hand, but I'm like moving my hand back and forth. But yeah.
What did you say the avatar was?
Biggie Cheese.
Biggie Cheese just being like, walk it, talk it, walk it, walk it, walk it, or whatever that, however that song goes. I don't
It was
know.
hilarious, honestly. A big ass Biggie Cheese avatar, like rapping Migos.
That's the next evolution of culture, though. It's just gonna be like these side characters that you never considered from your childhood media, just like performing songs that are completely unrelated. And just it's just surreal meme culture. That's what it
Honestly, it's super dystopian. Like, pop
is.
culture becomes reality.
I'm waiting for it. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's gonna be awful.
I'm welcoming this.
You're gonna have to like, we're gonna have prisons, VR prisons.
Oh.
You're gonna be locked in your cell doing like VR manual labor for Amazon
All
as
right,
part of
wait.
the sentence.
This might be too morbid. Stop me if it is. But would do, okay, so I'm struggling to understand. So you're saying VR prison. So does that mean that some authority is making it so that the headset is permanently affixed to your head? Are you serious? Is
I
that
mean,
what your idea of a proper future looks like?
I didn't say proper, I said dystopian. Actually, the only
Dystopian.
reason I
Okay.
say that, I watched the movie Ready Player One
Oh yeah.
with Kevin the other night, and Luke and Kevin, and there was this part of the movie where the girl gets arrested by a corporation, and they were like, "We have bought off all of your debt. We now own rights to your debt. You will work to repay your debt to us now in our VR camp." And she was just like mining for gold in RuneScape. But she had like a VR headset locked on her head, and if she tried to take it off, it electrocuted her. It was pretty awful.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
It's like no, you are forced to play super hot 24 hours a day. You're not allowed to
That
take this off. Cannot exit the
would, I mean,
app.
yeah, shout out. That's a fun game. I don't own it, but my friend does.
Get it on your headset. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I would probably break my controller on my desk.
Oh my God. That's the fun of it. That's the fun of
Yeah.
VR. You just punch your you accidentally punch your belongings and then you regret it.
There's that one game that you said that was free. I want to play that with you.
Echo.
Yeah.
Yes.
What are you doing tonight? Are you free?
Interviewing you.
No, like after. Do you have any time to hang out tonight?
We'll see. We might.
Okay.
I might. We'll see.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you because we haven't been on the interview portion in a little bit here.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No worries. How do you decide what to and what not to release?
If it's complete, I usually release it. And because usually anything I make, I like. Usually anything I make, I like. And it's only with time and retrospect and incomplete projects that I lose the interest to finish them. Like, I probably have a dozen songs. There was this one song I wrote to a little pump instrumental. It was my little pump type music. I was like talking about driving a Maserati with a chopper in the back seat, and
A helicopter in your back seat.
no, like a machine gun. And I never released that. Well, for obvious reasons. Actually, really anything that I probably wouldn't have released that. I don't think I was planning on releasing it. I think that one I just made because like I wanted to see how hard it would be to have a career like Lil Pump or Smoke Perp. Spoiler alert, it's not that hard. I made that song very quickly, but really, the criteria for me is as long as it's real. There's this one song that I have, like it's half done, and I never finished it because there's this one part I really liked where I flowed really well, but the lyrics I said weren't true, and I couldn't figure out a way to make it flow that well with something that was true. So
The plight
really.
of every rapper. It's like, how can I not front and still make this sound good?
Yeah, honestly. No, but really that's really the main thing. I try my best to not release anything that feels disingenuous in any way. I've had a bit of a crazy life, so it's not that hard to look for content, but just sometimes like I'll listen to it. I'm like, yeah, that was kind of stretching it a bit. And I try my I don't stretch the truth in my lyrics really. Maybe in songs I've unre that are unreleased, but it's very important to me to make it real. Really, because like the main reason I make one of the main reasons I make music is it's kind of like an audio journal, and I want to have these songs to look back on when I'm 30. And like I even have it now. Like there's songs I made when I was 18 or 19, and I can listen to them, and it's the only way for me to really like be drawn back into that memory. That's the best way for me to remember my past is to listen to my old songs. And if I don't make these songs fast enough, I'll forget the moment and I'll just lose it to time. But it's like capturing this feeling or this memory in a bottle and preserving it in a pretty good way where I think when I'm an old man, I'll still be able to listen to these songs and be taken back into that moment and remember most of the details far better than I would if I was just like journaling it or just trying to remember like, oh, that was a good memory. Like that thing happened. It's
Sounds
like
like a
a
multimedia
feeling.
memory.
Yeah. It's like you know when you smell something that you haven't smelled in a long time and it awakens a memory? That's kind of what it's like, but in a different way.
Yeah,
So
I know exactly what you mean.
that's why I try to release something that's why I try to make everything like factual. Also, just like I fucking hate people that cap in their music too. Like, honestly, that's the worst. Are you a gangster in your rap, but a fucking I don't know,
I know what you mean.
a gamer in
Yeah.
real life.
Well, and you're the same thing's going to happen with this show too, because, you know, I'm going to grow up and be an old woman, and then I'm going to look back and, you know, I'm going to hear who I mean, I have a log of basically who I am for every week starting from, you know, February 2019 up to whenever this show ends, which it's going to go on forever. Gab Street is actually going to go on for all of eternity. I don't know if you understand. I don't know if I actually have told you that.
That's crazy. Actually, I never thought about that. You have every single week for the past 2 years.
Yeah, I did.
That's awesome.
It's like I can pick up whatever I was thinking, at least briefly. Yeah. Each week. Yeah.
You should make, like, Gab Street memoirs where you just, like, every month you release a 10-minute video on how you feel.
Or what? Oh, geez. What if we did Gab Street memoirs and, like, each episode, it's a monthly thing. It happens at the end of the month, and I reflect on the behind the scenes, like what happened before and after the interviews of the people that I interviewed that month. Yeah. I was like, wow, yeah, this one was like really, like, this one was a no call, no show. This one was, this person was late. This person said that they could do this day, and then on the day of, they told me they couldn't. It's just gonna be all that. That's just all it's gonna be.
This person was really fucking stupid, and like, I hated their guts. I'd never want to work with this person again.
Like, that's something I would say.
Yeah. Never.
But, so, I guess since we only have a few minutes left here, what are your overall goals for at least the near future, if not for your whole career?
To be happy and healthy. That's it, really. Be a more compassionate person.
No stream goals or anything like that.
No, fuck that. Well, I wanna.
Fuck that is truer words have never been spoken.
I kind of have faith that I'm gonna have some sort of a following eventually. I don't really care when that happens. Yeah. I want to be happy, healthy, more compassionate, and I want to be a more critical thinker in this fucking insane world that we call reality, where up is down, left is right, and Republicans are Nazis, and Democrats are commies, and if you don't think how I think, then you're an asshole, and I want to try to love everybody as an equal, even if I think they're stupid and I hate their guts. And I don't know.
That's a good goal to work toward.
I think you get the point. I want to be a better person. I want to make the music I want to make, which could mean anything, but I want to make music that makes me feel like I've achieved the dream, which I've had since I was 15, and I'll get there eventually. I want to start programming, I want to make a video game. I think that'd be cool.
That'd be sweet.
And I want to get my bachelor. I want to go to college and get a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering. So,
hell yeah.
That's moves. That's my long-term goal.
Cool. How can...
Oh, and I want to perform again. I want to perform it, for sure.
VR or not?
No, definitely real life. Like, VR is a cool idea, but, like, I love the energy of a crowd. Yeah. That's the feeling I'll never forget. And if I don't ever perform like that again, I'll be very sad.
It'll happen. No worries.
Yeah.
It'll come back.
Yeah.
So when that does happen, or before, whenever, how can our audience find you on social media, on streaming services, and support you?
Zay Crypto everywhere.
Z-A-Y-K-R-Y-P-T-O.
Yes.
And the PTO does not stand for Parent Teacher Organization, just letting you know.
Yep, no.
It's not Zaycrypto PTO.
Yep, and crypto has nothing to do with any sort of gang affiliation. Just in case anybody was wondering.
Good
thing. It has to do with cryptocurrency and cryptography. Okay? Just putting that out there. I don't think anybody... That's to educate the one person that has asked me before if I was affiliated with the Crips. I don't think most people think that, but yeah. No. I am not a gangster in any way, shape, or form.
You don't Never front. Have. That's good.
Never have been. Never will. Unless the gangs want to like start a revolution, then maybe.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I'll join the Bloods if they're planning on seceding from the Union.
Nice.
Probably. Yeah.
Do you have any last minute shout outs to make?
Shout out to all my friends, you included. I love you all very dearly. Shout out to all my friends making music. Everybody in Columbus. Especially shout out to Luke Chioka, Besh, the producer, Drazon Midwest. Yeah, that's it.
Cool. All right then. Well, that's an episode right there. Just a little under an hour. We got it going.
Thanks for having me, Kara. I hope I didn't get too sidetracked for you.
Did a great job. No worries. As always, you did a great job. Listeners,
bless
you know how the show works. If you've already been tuned in, every Wednesday morning, 6 a.m. sharp, unless we upload something wrong, then it's a redo later. But that doesn't happen very often. 6 a.m. Wednesday morning. Thank you for listening this week. And, one more thing. Since this is coming out tomorrow, I can do this in a timely fashion. The jackets are coming. We have a slightly different design than what we first published. It'll be going up on our Instagram. You'll be able to place pre-orders. They're going to be $65 each. We're going to have a pre-order link in our link tree. You'll be able to fill out a form, and we'll send you an invoice, and we will get them to you as soon as we humanly possibly can. So, if you're interested in the Fringe Life Squad Gab Street collaboration jacket, that some of the proceeds are going to benefit Matter News. So we are partnering with Matter News, one of the most important things happening in Columbus right now. A local news outlet that is giving the news that we need that is not the Columbus Dispatch and Columbus Underground that have been bought out by large corporate conglomerates. No, this is all local. This is all nonprofit. So,
the Columbus Dispatch.
Yes, exactly. Catch up with us on that. We will be talking about that again soon in the future. Thank you for listening this week. We will see you soon.